Welcome to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Very, very good to be with you guys. And I almost didn't think we were going to get on the air tonight, you know.
Yeah, you had to plug it in.
Yeah, and the next time you make a crack about how they had it in the wrong hole, okay?
Well, that's what I heard Matt say, and I thank you, Phil, for mentioning that.
No, he said it had the wrong hole.
Yeah, and all I said was that's what she said.
Was that all you said? I don't want to hear that again. Do you understand? Apparently we had a cable mix-up. It happens. And Matt's information down the line was from our remote studio. A cable was in the wrong input, or the wrong hole, if you will, and smartass here...
Yeah, man, you don't do it.
I didn't do anything.
You said that's... If I hear that's what she said one more time, I swear to God, I cannot vouch for the safety of people...
Yeah. Okay, well, we don't have to get that crazy. But anyway, welcome to the program, the world-famous Phil Henry Show tonight. I saw this thing in the news that was very interesting. 10 things to think about, or 10 things to watch for Wednesday. Wednesday being the news day. This is from AP. More trouble in the U.S. nuclear arsenal. Air Force officials tell the AP that twice this year, officers entrusted missile launch keys left a blast door intended to help stop intruders open. Air Force officials tell the AP that twice this year, officers entrusted missile launch keys left a blast door intended to help stop intruders open. I don't know how serious that is. That sounds like a long way to run for something that... All right, intruders would be, at the worst case scenario would be foreign... I mean, what would it be?
Well, I would imagine foreign spies.
Yeah, probably like a foreign terrorist.
Yeah, if the terrorists got in.
All right, well, you don't want terrorists to get into the missile launch silos, that's for sure. But then they would have to know that there's such a thing as a blast door, wouldn't they? And I don't know. How many guys are at these launch sites? The reason why I say, and the reason why I found this interesting, is I don't know how many of you have been aware of some of these recent programs that on History Channel, Military Channel, and other places, because that's where a dull creep like me, I mean, I shouldn't say it, but that's where I hang out, you know? I just don't hang out on regular television. I'm watching history and... documentary, you know.
Yeah, and I really think that's what's hurting your show. I really do, Phil.
Oh, is that what's hurting my show?
Yes, and try not to be sarcastic. You need to be watching Boardwalk Empire. You need to be watching Game of Thrones. You need to be watching Walking Dead. You need to be watching, which you can't watch anymore, Breaking Bad. All of these programs, Phil, are far more relevant. Relevant.
I understand about relevancy. Okay.
Yeah, Margaret's right, if I may, and I'm not trying to be a smartass, but they are more relevant, you know.
But it sounds like you're mocking me when you do that, and I'm going to kick...
Hey, watch it.
Tell them to do...
Are you making fun of her?
No.
Yeah, you've got to be more relevant.
Okay, that's it.
Oh, here she goes.
Good.
Okay, now I'm sitting back down.
That's what you get for opening your big fat mouth. All right, in any event... Whether I'm relevant or not, I think I'm relevant enough, but here, how's this for relevance? In 1982 or 83, the Soviet Union almost opened up on us with all of their nuclear missiles. Is that relevant enough for you?
1982?
Well, I'm telling you something that a lot of people don't know. A lot of people don't know that World War III almost started. The Russians thought we'd opened up on them, and they turned around, and they were ready to just go ahead and blast us.
Well, how'd that happen?
How it happened was that the computer system that the Russians... It happened, number one, because the Soviets were super paranoid of us at that time. Reagan had just been elected, and he'd just given that evil empire speech. Okay, that's number one. So now they know they got this hard ass they're dealing with. Number two, the Korean jetliner was shot down by those Soviet fighter jets over this so-called restricted airspace in those northern... islands of Japan that the Russians have staked their claim over as a result of World War II. So this Korean jetliner was downed, and now the United States and the West was really going ape. I mean, there were people ready to storm embassies and, you know, you dirty, stinking commies, look what you did. So now the Russians are, like, super paranoid, you know.
You call them a stinking commie and everything?
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty much... Ronald Reagan had just been elected president. He made no bones about the fact that he didn't like these Soviets. He didn't like these commies. Not that anybody did or does, other than commies, but Reagan was particularly vociferous and calamitous and saber-rattling-ous, you know?
Yeah.
So,
You know what he means.
Yeah, I do.
Take it easy, okay? So what happened, and then after Reagan was yelling all that stuff, they shoot down this Korean jetliner, and that really got people bugged. So the Russians got real paranoid, because they're over there thinking, well, we got this guy Reagan, and now they're all pissed off. These guys are going to attack. We don't know, because they had a lot of old guard guys in charge over there. They had all of these Cold War veterans over there, man. They had Andropov, they had Brezhnev, they had Kosygin. They had these guys that were real old school, came from the old, you know, these dirty, degenerate Westerners with their decadent this and their bourgeois that and their capitalist this and their, you know, their materialism that. And opiate of the masses, all that commie stuff. And so they thought of us in only one way, you know, a dying system that sooner or later was going to be overtaken by the workers' state, which was the Soviet Union, and, you know, and we were just evil, just about probably as evil as they thought that we thought that they were. So anyway, make a long story short, one night, and thank God for this man, and his name is well known to history, although I haven't bothered to look it up because...
Why not?
Because I was just lazy.
That's great. Here's a man who's known to history.
Take it easy, Margaret. I'll get his name.
If it was you, I think you'd want your name mentioned, wouldn't you?
I suppose, yes, I would. This man, he was a Soviet army officer. He's looking at the big screen that can detect missile launches all over the world. These computers, the satellites that the Russians were using, the spy satellites they were using, like ours, were geared to detect missile launches so that they could protect their country. And sure enough, they detect multiple missile launches in the United States. The United States has fired multiple rockets toward Russia. It's right there on the screen. Now, this guy is an experienced officer, and it doesn't make any sense. Multiple missile launches? He picks up the phone. He talks to his superior. He says, I don't know. And the guy says, what do you think? He says, I don't buy it. I think there's something wrong. He hangs up the phone. No sooner does he hang up the phone, he sees more multiple missile launches until finally there are hundreds. And now he is freaking out. And again, he resists the temptation and what was his right to go ahead and put the key in, man, and turn the switch.
So he could launch rockets.
Yeah, on his own discretion, I believe. He'd already contacted his superior, but he resisted the temptation because he just wasn't buying what he was seeing. Well, the end of the story, making a long story even longer but shorter all at once, was the following. There happened to have been a cloud cover that night that, for whatever reason, for a once-in-a-lifetime reason, it reflected the sun right into the optic eye of this satellite, spy satellite, that was detecting these missile launches. And what this reflecting sun ray was doing was obviously confusing the computer. So the computer read missile launches and was feeding that back to Russia. And were it not for this one lone man who saw this and kept his head about him and said, no, this is bullcrap, and he went on the phone, they would have been within their rights, I suppose, although somebody ought to buy him some new computers.
Then did they have Apple then or not?
What do you mean, did they have Apple then?
Man, they don't have Apple computers, man. Even if they had Apple.
The answer is no, they probably didn't. Well, maybe I don't know if they had Apple computers. They had Russian computers.
Did Apple, it probably... Because they don't have viruses and stuff.
This isn't a virus, you gloid. No.
Don't call him a gloid.
Sorry, it's not a virus. It was the reflecting sun rays.
Whatever, but Steve Jobs would never have let that happen.
Yeah, okay, bud. Sure, Steve Jobs, he would have been right on it. Anyway, so there was no nuclear strike by the Russians, and this guy, he was censored, he was demoted, he was stripped of his rank, he was punished. He was punished by the Soviet authorities for what one can only imagine. Probably the fact that his action made them look bad. Who knows? But he was. The good news is, after the fall of the Soviet Union and with the institution of a more democratic process in Russia, he was rehabilitated by the military. He was given his... He was restored to his grade. He was given his back pay. And he was... hailed by the succeeding generation as a guy that, you know, saved the world, at least on that one particular night, from a terrible thing, you know.
That's an amazing... We should know his name. What? I want his name. Bud, look it up.
I don't know how to spell Russian names.
Look it up.
I don't know how to do a Russian name. Oh, give me a break, man. Russian name's easy to do.
You can look up Russian names, man. They start with some kind of a letter. I don't know.
Good luck.
What am I going to do?
I'll help you. All right, so we'll be back here on a world-famous Phil Hendry show. And news? Well, there is a call to action by President Obama. He wants people who are supporters of Obamacare to get with it, man, to start, standing up for the tribe, start to represent and to do battle if need be with those that are, you know, opposed to Obamacare as they get this thing straight up. Speaking of computer glitches, man, speaking of the rays of the sun,
woo!
We'll be back, world-famous Phil Hendry Show at philhendryshow.com. And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Go to philhendryshow.com for your backstage pass. Watch live streaming video of our show. That's right, you see me on camera. It may be a shocker. It might frighten you. It could be something that is worth your while. You can see how we do this thing, which is what we call a show.
Why did you applaud that?
Because it's amazing how many people forget that that's what they're doing, a show. Show. You see? It ain't, I'm not giving a lecture, I'm not a college professor, I'm not a religious cleric, I'm not standing in a pulpit giving a sermon. That's a sermon. And then there's a lecture. And then there are discussions. But a show is a show. And I never want to make the mistake of anybody thinking it's something other than that. And if you think of talk shows in that context, most of them start to sound kind of silly as they go on and on and on ad nauseum about all these serious things. It's really just a three-ring circus that you're listening to. Speaking of three-ring circuses, don't we have some circus news?
We do have circus news. I don't know where you wanted to put... I don't know what your fixation is with circuses.
Yeah, we do have a circus, and there's a circus coming to town.
Okay, a circus coming to town. What does that mean?
Well, we found about a circus coming to town.
Yeah.
Well, are they going to be riding elephants? Because if we get into that discussion again...
Bud?
They may be on an I don't know.
What is it with you guys? There's a circus coming. All I want to know is about animals being abused, because that's a big thing with me. You understand that?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm looking at it.
You're looking at it, huh? So any circus that's afoot in this country, I want to know about it. I got nothing against circuses, nothing against clowns, acrobats. I don't care if the humans kill themselves. That's fine. In fact, it's very entertaining. But the animals, no.
You have got to be kidding me.
I am kidding. All right, so... I found the name of this man, a great man. Yes, he was. His name, last name, Petrov. And his first name, if you'll forgive me, I'm going to try to find my way through this gentleman's name. He is of a Russian. His first name, Stanislav. Middle name, or perhaps his mother's maiden name. I don't know how they do that. Yegrovovich. Yegrovovich. Stanislav Yegrovovich Petrov.
Yeah, you're all rolling the R and everything.
Well, you don't speak Russian, Phil.
I know I don't.
Well, what's with the Petrov? You know, you're rolling the R.
Trying to make it look like a big shot.
Hey, you want to see me be a big shot? Watch this right hand connect before you even see it move. That's a big shot.
I'm sorry.
Uh-huh. So anyway, trying to look like a big shot. All I'm trying to do is, what's with you with Mrs. French pronunciation?
Yes, that's French, Phil. That is a... A romantic tongue, that is a poetic tongue.
Excuse me. The Russians are some of the most poetic people on the face of the earth, okay?
I know that, Phil. I'm very aware of the Russian tradition of literature. But...
Yeah?
Forget it.
Yeah. Every time you say that, I know I beat you in the argument.
Where are the White Owls?
And, Margaret, with the White Owl cigars, you know, smoke them out there, please.
I beg your pardon?
Smoke the White Owls out there, please, because it stinks this joint up like a funeral parlor, if you don't mind.
You really got a pair on you.
I don't want her smoking those cigars in here. You understand that?
I tried to tell her the other day.
I don't care. I don't want her smoking White Owls, Dutch Masters. I don't care if it's a good cigar, but when she lights up those stogies that are right out of a dumpster, you got to be kidding.
Well, not out of a dumpster.
As far as I'm concerned, they are. You smoke a White Owl, man, you might as well be smoking... cat turd. Thank you.
Hey.
Thank you. I remember back in the day when I smoked, and this is way back in the day, We used to smoke those Tipperillos. You ever smoke any of those? Those Tipperillos, they had a wooden...
Well, I don't know about that.
They had a wooden, what the hell, holder. And they came out of the box that way.
The wood was attached?
Yeah. And these Tipperillos were just the worst taste in garbage. And we also smoked those Swisher Sweets. And then some of these kids, I say kids because I didn't do this, would take those Shermans, those dark cigarettes, and spray them with rat poison. I swear to God, and smoke that. I shouldn't be talking about this because there's some dumbass that's going to try it.
You talk about a kid being influenced.
I'm not worried about a kid being influenced. Some adult is liable to do it. All right, so anyway, the gentleman's name was Stanislav Yegrofovich Petrov. He was the officer on duty when the warning system reported a U.S. missile launch. Petrov kept calm, suspecting a computer error. The system then reported another U.S. missile launch, and another, and another, and another. What had actually happened, investigators later determined, was sunlight on high-altitude clouds aligning with the satellite view on a U.S. missile base. In the command post, there were beeping signals, flashing lights, and officers screaming at people to remain calm. According to several accounts, there was a large flashing screen from the automated computer system saying simply start, which is presumably, the word start in Russian. Afterward, when investigators asked Petrov why he hadn't written everything down in the logbook, Petrov replied, because I had a phone in one hand and the intercom in the other, and I don't have a third hand. That's probably what got him censored.
Yeah, he probably thought he's being a wise ass.
That's it. That's it. And the guy's making sense. I got a phone. I got an intercom. What the hell do you guys want me? I'm not writing it down. You know why I'll tell you why they censored the guy, because he was the smartest guy in Russia. He was probably the smartest guy in the Russian army that day. And they probably just couldn't take the humiliation. The policy of the Soviet Union called for launch on warning. The Soviet Union's land radar could not detect missiles over the horizon, and waiting for positive identification would limit the response time to minutes. So in other words, they could not identify missiles once they were in the air, especially if they had come over the horizon and were imminent. So they decided, if we detect launch, we're launching ourselves. That was their way of preempting or hopefully minimizing the damage to their country on that end of things. Petrov's report would be relayed to his military superiors, who would decide whether to start a nuclear war. I guess he didn't have the...
So he did not have the authority. Would you put that cigar? I'm having a cigar. Now you can talk to Frank Gray about it.
Man, it smells like a turd.
You see, what they're doing is they're taking their cue from you, Phil.
No, you guys, don't say anything. I'll say it. I'm telling you, the thing stinks.
They're taking their cue from you. When you go, ooh, man, and you're waving your hand in front of your nose like someone had a bowel movement.
I can't hear you, Margaret.
Never mind.
All right, so the policy of the Soviet Union called for launch on warning. Petrov decided that all else being equal, he would prefer not to destroy the world. He sent messages declaring the launch detection a false alarm based solely on his personal belief that the U.S. did not seem likely to start an attack using only 5 missiles. Interesting, isn't that? That's a guy using his head.
Why is that?
Because he said they've only launched 5 missiles. What is that? That's not an attack. That's 5 missiles. What kind of attack is that? What is a limited nuclear strike against that would only guarantee the absolute annihilation of their country? Why would America launch 5 nuclear missiles, which essentially would guarantee our response, multiple response, which would guarantee the annihilation of the country? That's a guy using his noodle, man. Using the old noodle, baby. Just let that be a lesson to you. If you're ever in charge of the nuclear arsenal of a country...
Well, let's hope and pray that...
She's pointing at me.
I know.
That he isn't.
Yeah. All right, so that's the story of that here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Coming up next, Larry Grover is actually going to weigh in on that, and Larry is going to be with us from the Conservatives of Kern County on the recent Obama call for people to rally around the flag, baby, and help out with this... Obamacare, you know, with the public relations snafu that no doubt the computer's failing, or at least the website failure has caused Obamacare. Larry will be joining us. We also have Rudy Canoza later on in the program, a businessman, an Argentinian businessman who also owns and operates Jatem Lingerie there in the Valley, and we'll be getting the lay of the land in terms of The Economy from Rudy Canoza on our program as well. Reminder that our Game of the Week is back on Sunday at philhenryshow.com with Bud Dickman and Steve Bozell. So, and also we are continuing with our special this month, which is our Halloweeny special, man, the Pastor William Renick Silver Bullet special. Get a backstage pass, and you get a free download from us here at philhenryshow.com. So head on over, man. It's like I think it's really worth it.
It's just to die for.
It really is. All right. We'll be right back here on the world famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. And welcome back to the world famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. And we'll be with you till 10 o'clock on the West Coast, 1 a.m. on the East Coast. Now, we do have with us Alf Petrie. Alf is from Santa Barbara, you know, Margaret, and he is a longtime listener of our program. This guy used to be a just before we get into anything else, I wanted to bring this up to our great many pet owners, people that own pets and love pets, as I do. I don't have a dog or a cat, and the reason I don't have a dog or a cat is because they do take a lot of tender love and care. And, you know...
Yeah, you don't like them, though, do you?
I love animals. I love them. My testament to that is the photograph that was taken of me by Elaine and her boyfriend when they were in our studios here not too long ago with their beautiful retriever. Remember that dog?
Yeah, that old dog? Yeah, that dog was an old mutt. He probably didn't even know there was a human there.
What is that supposed to mean?
Well, if he was old, Phil, he looked like he was blind. Did he even know that you were human, or were you just... he thought you were another dog? I mean, I don't mean anything by that.
He thought I was another dog.
Yeah, he's blind.
He knew I was a human because he was looking at me. So he wasn't blind either. He looked up at me, he wagged his tail, then he turned and he got in the car.
Yeah, because you want to be with him.
Right. Anyway, never mind, okay? Anyway, with us here is Alf Petrie in Santa Barbara tonight, and we're going to talk to him just very, very briefly about a story that I thought was that warranted our attention. Alf, how are you tonight?
Well, I was wondering if you were going to call me anytime.
Well, we're here talking to you right now, Alf. This story about these jerky treats, this is dog food or cat food or something?
Yeah, this is a dried food. It's a dried jerky treat, and it's a food is a snack food for dogs and cats.
Okay. I understand that there is one or two brands of this stuff that's making the dogs sick. And it's obviously maybe causing fatalities. Yeah, 600 pets have died from this brand. Do you have any information on the name of the... Hold on for a minute, Alf. I'm trying to get my glasses on.
Go ahead.
I can't get my glasses on because I'm wearing a hat that keeps me from putting my glasses on. So.
Yeah, I was looking on your video cast, the hat you're wearing, you look... You should take it off, because I don't think it looks good on you, but that's just my opinion. It looks very, goofy-like, you know.
Is that right? Okay, well, hold on for a minute.
Yeah, I don't know why he said... It does look asinine, but I don't think you should take it off.
I'm wearing it, man, because I happen to want to wear the hat instead of my bald head glowing in the sun, okay? Okay, Alf, do you know the title of, or the,
title?
I mean, the name of these jerky treats?
I don't know the name. There's 500 dogs and cats that have reported, and there's the FDA Center for Veterinary Medicine says that the dogs have been taken ill. But one of the things you don't want to do is give them a jerky treat. You always want to give them fresh meats and vegetables.
Meats and vegetables?
Hold on for a minute. It's Milo's Kitchen Jerky. It's Milo's Tasty Turkey Turkey Treat.
Milo's Tasty Turkey Treat.
It's from Del Monte Corporation, and it's the chicken, and it's a chicken griller. It's made a dog sick, and you're going to find a lot of people who are going to look at the title of that, and I'm going to talk about elderly people, but anybody would find that to be appetizing. And then we want to put the warning out to people, too, because when you look at a chicken griller, of course, it seems appetizing.
If it says dog food, no one's going to eat it.
No, you're right. No one should eat, but when it says chicken griller and tasty chops and chicken or turkey tidbits, you find that to be attractive.
Well, are you saying, Alf, this is Margaret.
How are you, dear?
I'm good. Are you saying that humans are eating this?
No, we have no reports of a human, but I looked at a can of the Milo Tasty Tidbit Turkey Chicken, and...
What is the name of this stuff, okay? You're giving me a lot of different names here.
I told you, it's Milo's Chicken. It's a jerky treat, Phil. It's made by Del Monte Corporation.
All right, so let's just tell people Del Monte... Milo's. This is Milo. What, is that the name of that cat?
I'm sorry?
Wasn't Milo the name of that cat? I'm getting a lot of blank stares. Wasn't that the name of a cat?
The name of a cat? I don't know.
Well, there was a Milo or something. Wasn't there a cartoon or something?
What are you talking about?
Wasn't there a Milo? Everybody's looking at me dummy. Dummy. I mean, they're giving me the dummy look.
Everyone's looking at you dummy? Did you just call yourself dummy?
Never mind. It was a cat, I know, because I saw it on TV. His name was Milo, and he traveled from town to town.
Oh, okay.
What are you talking about, travel from town to town?
It's like when you said an elephant go town to town.
This was a cat on TV that went from, not town to town, but he went from farm to farm.
What, doing odd jobs?
That's pretty good, gotta admit.
Yeah, that's real funny.
What are you talking about, went from farm to farm?
He was a little tiny cat. And he made friends with the other animals. It was a kid's show, man. And he met up with a deer, and he met up with a dog, and he met up with a, you know...
Oh, I'm sure, yeah. Who else, man? Did he campaign for Obama?
That's pretty good, man. I like that one. Campaign for Obama.
You know, Alf, you can really turn a phrase.
Thank you.
Okay, never mind. Just forget it. Forget I even said anything. There's a reason why they call this stuff Milo.
Maybe it's named after a guy in the company. Maybe a guy by the name of Milo Del Monte. Come up with the idea. You know, you wouldn't know. You can't know, can you? You can never know these things, can we?
Sure, I think we can, man. It's not like a black hole.
What?
It's not like a scientific anomaly of some kind. Yes, we... What do you mean we can never know these things?
I don't know why they call it Milo. All I know is it's a chicken tender treat. Let me get my glasses here, Phil. You had a hard time putting your glasses on. I'll put my glasses on. Now, what I got here, Phil, says is Del Monte Corporation. Also, there's another one, Phil, for your listeners to please take note of this. Nestle's Purina Pet Care Company, Wagon Train, Canyon Creek Ranch, and Steak Treat. That's the Wagon Train and Canyon Creek Ranch. Now, I don't know where that is. I got a map out. And
what do you mean, a map? That's just the name of the food.
No, I understand it's the name of the food.
Well, is that a real place?
Are you telling me that's a real place?
Well, it said it's Nestle's Purina Pet Care, Wagon Train, and Canyon Creek Ranch. I'm assuming this is where it was made, and maybe there's somebody there to give us some answers.
No, man, they didn't name the food after a real place. Canyon Creek Ranch, that's just... that makes it more appetizing, I guess. Like it's a barbecued, you know...
What, are you talking about having a barbecue for a cat?
Yeah, they liable to barbecue the cat, not have one for a cat.
Oh, for God's sake.
Well, I mean, I don't know what Phil's trying to say.
I'm telling you that there's no way... I'm betting you money there's no canyon...
Kagan?
Canyon Creek Ranch. There's no such place. It's the name of the product. Now, the next one here is what, Del Monte?
Yeah, the next one is Del Monte Milo... Del Monte Corp Milo Kitchen... Well, let it see. Del Monte Corp's. I know it's not going to... They're not talking about a Del Monte. If the cat is dead as a result of eating the Del Monte treat, it's a Del Monte corpse, isn't it? I'm joking.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
All right. But the Milo's Kitchen Geez, I can't... There's too much meat here.
That's what she said. Ow!
What did I tell you about that?
I will get up and leave if I hear that one more time.
What did I tell you about that?
Sorry.
I thought it's where the kid was trying to do the best that he can with what the material he had.
We're not here to do jokes now. I want to know about the name of this product so that people who are cat and dog owners and lovers will, you know, avoid it.
All right, well, it's called Del Monte Corp. Milo's Kitchen Chicken Ticket Chicken Turkey. I don't know. There's too much chicken here. But you, anything that says Del Monte and chicken, I'd avoid it.
No, if it's pet food, right?
Yeah, if it's dog or cat food, and they're called dog treats, and the other smaller retailers also call it treats. So this is the dog treat. My point is this. feed your animals meat, feed your animals the grain. The dog should have kibble and meat. The cat should have just straight meat and water. That's all they need. Don't give them the garbage. Keep the garbage away from your pets. They don't need to have no treat, and they don't need to have no gravy, and they don't need to have anything that makes their stool run out like chocolate milk all over the carpeting. And I don't know if you've ever had to clean that up.
Yes, I got it.
Okay, and it is as disgusting a thing as you'll ever see in your life. And that's what you get for your trouble. That's what you get for feeding your cat or your dog gravy and heating up a stew and all of this baloney. Give the cat meat. Meat! As I, what I say to and my wife, I love her, my wife of 61 years, is like, what do you call for every night? And he says, meat, you know. And now the chicken tiblet.
All right, so thank you very much.
Well, don't hang up on the old man, Phil. It's rude.
I understand, but it's... talk to him, bud, will you?
Yeah. A-R-F. Yeah, good, yeah. Way to go, man.
Keep it down, will you? The cat was going on and on and on, okay? Thank you very much. Alf, the reason why we have Alf, Alf Petrie was a wrangler for many years in Hollywood. Not just, he wasn't a horse wrangler. He wrangled cats and dogs.
Yes, that was his, he had a dog training a company.
He had a dog training company, and then he started working for these production companies, and he was wrangling dogs and cats for TV shows. So he knows how to feed them, and he knows how to take care of them. I wouldn't say he's any dog whisperer, but by the same token, he ain't bad. But boy, when he starts going off on a tangent... And I'm gathering what he meant to say and what he did say was, don't feed your dogs or your cats any of this processed crap. Just feed them.
Well, yes, feed them meat, and for the dogs, the kibble. The dogs must have the kibble. No alternative. Must have kibble. Okay.
Where is this, Beirut?
Take it easy. All right. Thank you, Margaret.
What do you mean, Beirut?
Well, what is this? All of a sudden, a hostage takeover? No alternative.
They must have the kibble.
All right, they must have kibble. Okay, great. Thank you very much, Margaret Gray, with that little bit of insight. Thank you very much, Alf. And we're coming back here on a world-famous Phil Henry Show with more, including a visit from our good friend Larry Grover and the Obamacare thang, as well as a little bit more background on that whole Russian missile launch some 30 years ago. World-famous Phil Henry Show. And welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. We're here at 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. And I am very, very pleased to have Larry Grover with us. We're always pleased to have you on, Larry, as much as I know you think we give you a hard time. I'm sorry, I don't agree with you in terms of your political outlook, but I think you're a good man, and it's always good to have you on the program.
I got to tell you, Phil, thank you very much for those very kind words. I appreciate that very much.
Larry, let's talk first about the issue of this little topic that was sort of curiosity to me, and that was some 30 years ago, 30 years and a month, the false detection of a missile launch in the United States of 5 missiles read in the Soviet Union, and it was a Colonel Petrov who was on duty that night looking at this war board, if you will, or this missile board, and deciding it had to be a false alarm, which indeed it was, and he did not contact his superiors and did not recommend a retaliation. And frankly, this was the example of one very good officer. Talk about a guy at the right place at the right time, huh?
Well, yeah, and I, you know, my hat's off to him. There is no question that Colonel Petrov was a... you know, the man of the hour. You know, you just said it, Phil. A guy.
I'm sorry, Larry. This is Gloria, Phil.
How are you doing, Gloria?
I saw this Colonel Petrov.
Mother, if you get off the phone, I don't want to have to battle with her tonight, Phil. Because I'll tell you this right now, Mother. If I've got to battle with you for the phone, I'm going to do something that I will regret for the rest of my life, Mother.
Larry.
What, Larry, come on.
No, I mean it. I will do something that I will regret for the rest of my life. And I will be staring at four walls and they will be, my God, for the rest of my life. I'm sorry, Phil, to have to put it that graphically, but that's the last time she wrestles a phone out of my hands.
All right. I mean, what? Do you, why such an extreme?
Because I'm getting tired of it. Every time I'm on the phone with you, she comes up, grabs the phone, and I took the extensions out of your room, Mother, so forget that. Because if I will, for the rest of my, I will do something that I will regret.
I know, Larry, for the rest of your life.
Yes, that's right. Well, look at that. She doesn't even take me seriously. Oh, baby. Phil, as I was saying, the detection of these missile strikes, she's going outside with her cell phone. I won't answer. I won't listen to the call waiting.
Okay.
She's going outside with her cell phone. Are you ready for that? I would recommend, Phil, that you not put her on the air.
Do you hear that, Bud? Don't put Mrs. Grover on the air if she calls in.
Yeah.
All right, so it was, 30 years ago, as you indicated, Phil, that this fine officer, Colonel Petrov, decided... what?
Thank you for taking my call, Phil.
Oh, baby!
Give me that phone. Give me the phone, Bud.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean...
Mrs. Grover?
Yeah.
No. No, 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 no. No, no, no. I don't want to put you on the air. Where's Larry right now? You see him... No, you're not on the air. You see him inside the house. What's he doing? Throwing pillows? And he's biting a pillow. Mrs. Grover, you really got to lay off of your son, because what you're doing is you're humiliating him for your own personal laughs, okay? You can't do that. I think it's why Larry has a problem getting dates. I think it's why Larry has a dysfunctionality when it comes to relating to women. Yes, I do blame you. Yes, I do blame you. And I think that he's living with you. He's in his 40s. Look at the man. He's a mess. And I think it all goes back to his relationship with you. Quit torturing the guy. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to have to be honest with you. I'm sorry. Do I treat my mother this way? My mother's been gone a few years now. Did I kill her? Hang up on her. Wow. Hey, Larry?
Yeah. Okay, so you got a load out of mother, didn't you, there? See, now you understand. Now you know, okay?
Larry, no one ever doubted you, okay? But the fact is that you put up with it. That's what we don't understand.
Why are you living there, man? Why don't you move out?
I'm putting my money together for the deposit on an apartment.
For the deposit on an apartment, man? You sound like you're in your 20s. You're putting your money together for the deposit on an apartment. How long you been living with her? 12 years now?
Well, what is this all of a sudden? I'm coming on your program, and I'm going to have my life paraded in front of everybody like someone just yanked my pants off? And let's take a look and see just exactly what he's got going on there? Go ahead and whip it out and lay it on the bar, and let's go ahead and throw bets? I mean, Phil, this is something...
All right, let's forget all about it, and let's get back to the Russian thing and get back to Obamacare, because that's what I want to talk about, okay? Man, where's your mother right now?
She's making supers, coffee. She doesn't give a sweet you-know-what. Yeah, No, she's not going to do anything, because you told her, right?
I told her. I basically read her the Riot Act, okay?
Well, she doesn't care about that. All that psychology?
Yeah, I told her the reason why you're still living at home, and...
Yeah, she doesn't care about it. She knows that she destroyed my mind. She knows that my mind is a complete and utter disaster because of her. She doesn't care. She knows my subconscious is filled with all kinds of lurid and filthy images, dreams of having sex with my own...
All right. Anyway, so the Russian Colonel Petrov...
Yeah, so and as you said, Phil, he prevented this nuclear strike... And rather than congratulate him, and rather than give him what one could imagine, a well-deserved medal, a commendation of some kind, perhaps a two-week vacation, who knows, instead, he was demoted, he was stripped of his grade, he was demoted in terms of his pay, eventually he was drummed out of the service, I think, with a dishonorable discharge of whatever the Russian version of that is, and this poor man spent the remainder of the 80s a pariah, and he probably was wondering why. He was a loyal officer to the Russian army, and he was turned against the Russian army with this treatment. Well, as you mentioned, by the time the Soviet Union had been overthrown and the new democratic regime was installed, he was reinstated in the Russian army and was given his back pay. So all's well that ends well, but I think it was a just a great story.
Phil already said that. What do you know about it?
All right, Bud.
Wait, what's that?
I said Phil already said all that. What are you adding that's new?
Boy, you want $300 worth, don't you, kid? You really are. I take it from Mother.
All right, don't worry about it, Larry. But it's none of your business. Why don't you just butt out?
Well, you already said all that stuff. He could have gone on Obamacare and not even not talked about it.
Yeah, I got to make a point. That's a pretty good point. Phil already said that stuff.
Well, you guys are really asking for it, aren't you? Oh, man. I'll tell you.
Well, that doesn't mean I'm asking for it.
You know exactly what it means. I'm on the air talking about this thing that happened in Russia. I didn't want to talk about it. I wanted to talk about Obamacare, but Henry knew that I had a particular interest in that, so I talked about it. And you guys are telling me that it didn't add anything? Man, you want $300 worth.
All right, enough with the $300 worth, okay? So with the minute that we have remaining, what about Obamacare and the call to action by President Obama?
I think that President Obama is desperate. I think the president knows that he needs help. He needs big help, and he needs it now. He knows that the public relations rollout, the disastrous public relations rollout of this thing, is going to set, I think, public opinion back on this. And I think President Obama wants all of the little Obamaites and the acolytes to line up and start puckering up and just going right on the hind end of... I don't see it working.
All right, Larry, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for, next time, forget it.
Yeah, that's right. Forget it is right. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. And sorry about Mrs. Grover there, Larry, if you're still listening, which I'm sure you are.
How's it going?
Sorry. World famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. I'm doing three things at once, and I thought I hit a button that I didn't hit.
That's what she said.
All right, watch it. The answer to every problem is not violence, Margaret.
I'm a liberal, Phil. I do not respond with violence to every occasion, but when it comes to him, I feel that it is entirely called for to reinforce what I'm saying with pain. Now, Bud, I'm sorry, but you are sometimes stupid beyond all known records. And...
Well, I don't see how you say that.
Oh, you don't see how I say that? When I said don't say, that's what she said, and then you say it.
She did say that. She did say don't say, that's what she said.
That's what she said.
Oh, I'm gonna...
All right, take it easy.
Well, man, you tee it up, he's gonna hit it out.
Oh, get a load of him. You tee it up, he'll hit it out.
Well, you did tee it up with the whole... Anyway, welcome to the program. It's our second hour here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Now, there are a couple of things here. One of them is an over-the-counter... Get a load of this. Cheap over-the-counter... Apparently, there are tests. Over-the-counter tests for STDs, which we're going to be talking about here in just a moment. There's another story that I just saw about one of the bombers in the...
Phil, that's not very professional. You're grabbing. Just get...
I know what I'm doing, okay?
Yeah, but you're talking and you're reaching.
No, I can hear you.
All right, sorry. One of the guys involved in the Boston Marathon bombing, quote, participated in a 2011 triple homicide, according to federal investigators. So these guys are, if the feds are to be believed, these guys just get more cuddly as the days go forward. Where are the people that shortly after this whole thing happened were looking for, let's not rush to judgment on this whole thing? And
I was one of those people, Phil.
Oh, really? Well, you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
And what is that supposed to mean?
It means exactly that. You ought to be ashamed. What do you mean, let's not rush to judgment? They had these guys on video. What is it with you, okay? And people like you.
Don't talk to me like I'm a you people. No,
I'm just saying, when we got a guy who's a fugitive, who's sitting in a boat, is being shot at, has shot at people, his brother's dead, his brother was returning fire with police, they got the guy on videotape, he's walking down the street. I mean, what is the whole, make sure that the guy gets a fair... This is the United States of America. You get a fair trial here, about as fair a trial as you're going to get anywhere else. Yes, I understand there have been miscarriages of justice in this country all over the place. And I will only say the following, as I've said many times. If there is miscarriage of justice in the judicial system of America, can you imagine what it's like everywhere else? Everywhere else, it's probably hell on living earth. So, I dare anybody. Every time someone wants to call into question how we do things here, I understand. There's a lot left to be desired. Is that how it goes?
There's a lot left to desire.
Yes, if there is a lot left to be desired, I think is...
In any event, I dare anybody to find anywhere on Earth where it's better. I mean, I'm telling you, I got into a discussion with a guy one day. He said, well, you know, healthcare in other countries. No, I understand that. But I wasn't talking about healthcare with him. I was talking about the quality of the medical treatment that you receive. Now, healthcare, yeah, that's a good point. But that's a system as opposed to the actual quality of the treatment itself. And the system is not in place because we chose not to have that. But when it comes to just, you know, just the straight ahead chances of living a happy life, you got a better chance here.
All right, now that we've heard the commercial, what's your point?
Well, what are you being so cynical for?
We heard the commercial, Phil. What is your point?
My point is this guy, this punk face who was one of the Boston Bombers.
All I said was that I hoped that they would be treated with the respect that they were due, yes, given the fact that I thought he was handsome.
What's that got to do with but a guy being handsome?
Excuse me, I'm not talking to you. All I said was what any woman in this country was saying at that time, which was, he has a pleasing look.
Any woman in this country.
Phil, don't go there. He's cute, and I would hope that they wouldn't mistreat a cute... You know something? I really hate it when you think you've made a point and you haven't, but I feel like you have. And
well, that makes a lot of sense.
I hope it does.
Well, no, it doesn't.
Well, then why did you say that?
Because I'm being sarcastic. You thought he was cute?
He looked like he was an all-American boy. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, that whole thing that went down really made me sick. Because I can understand you want to have, want to make sure that people are treated fairly, but I'm telling you, it was nauseating, this, maybe he's got a point. You know, these guys are almost off the cover of a magazine. They look like, you know, fairly typical young citizens of the world. Oh, I got news for you, man. Now the cops think that this guy, the one that survived, his brother's dead, as you know. The guy that survived the shootout at the boat, the shootout at the canvas top boat, they think this guy was involved in a triple homicide in September of 2011. Prosecutors have disclosed publicly for the first time that they have information indicating deceased Boston Marathon suspect Tamerlan Tsarnaev participated in a September 2011 triple homicide. The revelation comes in a court document filed in the case against the surviving bombing suspect, Zokar, Tamerlan's younger brother. In the document, prosecutors note that they told Zokar his dead brother was implicated in the triple murder by a friend. He was shot dead in his Florida apartment in May. This friend, by the way, is a guy by the name of Ibrahim Todashev, and Todashev was shot dead in his Florida apartment in May during an interview with the FBI and Massachusetts State Police. Sources with direct knowledge of the incident told ABC News shortly after the shooting that Todashev suddenly attacked the officers before he was about to sign a statement admitting to his own role in the triple murder. What? Woo!
Well, there, that smells fishy.
Yeah, that's probably a conspiracy.
Well, of course! It has to be a conspiracy! Hey, Jones, wherever you are, man, you better get on this. You better climb on this one, man, like you haven't climbed on anything in your life. You better hump this, man, like your hand.
That was vulgar.
Well, I'm sorry. Hey, Alex, you better get on this one like you get on your hand every night, man. I'm telling you, this is a conspiracy because the guy was shot dead while the coppers were there and the thing and the thing and the this and the that. And it has to be because we all know... All right, so that's one of the things. We got Bobby Dooley coming up next, though. She's going to be talking with us about her podcast, which was launched today. Mm-hmm. The Bobby Dooley podcast, not launched, but the daily Bobby Dooley podcast was launched today. So we'll be talking with her about that. As I mentioned, we have this story of tests for STDs. They're over the counter, and some people think that this is giving a whole new generation of young people the excuse to go out and behave like animals in a gutter, animals in the sewer. Just go out and procreate and copulate and just any manner of animal-like behavior, because you can go and get tested for it the next day and the report on time to your job at church. All right. Thank you. World famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. And we'll be right back here with more. Don't forget our website is philhendryshow.com. Our phone number is 855-500-7445. Don't forget, with a backstage pass, you get a backstage pass this month, you get a free download. Woo! So go get that load on, man. World famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com, till 10 o'clock on the West Coast and 1 a.m. on the East Coast. And we're back here. We have Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley going to join us here as her podcast has started today. The Bobby Dooley podcast is called Mm-hmm, and it is now on the Sideshow Network as well as SoundCloud and a bunch of other places. And the good news on this one, Bobby, is it's free, right?
Yes, Phil, the Bobby Dooley podcast is free. We want people to take advantage of the Bobby Dooley podcast and to listen to, the things that I have to say and about my life and the Western States Homeowners Association, and hopefully women in particular will take some inspiration from the podcast.
Now, are you going to, Bobby, this is Margaret, are you going to charge for your podcast at any point?
At some point, I think we will, once it begins to get popular and people are downloading it. And I wanted to clarify to Steve. Steve wanted to apologize, Phil.
No, that, you don't need to go into that, okay?
No?
You don't need to go into that.
Well, I'd like to know what it was.
Well, Steve was... I don't know.
You know, let me do it, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
Steve misunderstood the word download. Shut up, okay?
Oh, God, not this.
No, you asked. You asked. Steve misunderstood the word download. So when we said go download the Bobby Dooley podcast, he thought it was vulgar, and apparently thought he called me up and wanted to know if we were running adult films or something.
Are you that husband of yours, Bobby? I mean it.
There's nothing wrong with what is wrong with my husband?
Well, what are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding, and neither is he. He's a man that loves me. And when people say go download Bobby, I think it's cause for concern.
All right, we're all done discussing that, and I won't call your husband. Is Steve there?
Yeah, right, he's here. Yeah, I did say go download on Bobby.
All right, okay, I understand.
That is as vulgar as it gets. That is not what that means, Bobby, and for you to take it that way...
I understand that now, Margaret. Okay? You're a little late on this one, all right? Okay? I mean, we've got this one figured out, so you're a little bit late.
I'm not late for anything, darling. I understand... And I'm on top of all topics.
Well, you're not on top of this one. You might be on top of something, but not this.
Never mind. No comment.
Thank you. That's what I thought you'd say.
Not because I'm afraid of you.
All right, now take it easy, okay? You guys, you want to work it out somewhere else, not here.
I don't, Phil. I'm not working anything out with her, okay?
Yeah, there's a sexual connotation to that I don't like either. I'll talk to you later, and I will tell you this. You don't scare me.
You certainly don't scare me.
All right, are you done, ladies? Because we want to move on with this interview. If I have to, Margaret, I'll ask you to leave the room.
You don't have to ask me. I'm going right now.
Yeah, go smoke one of those cat turds or whatever.
Cat turds? God, how I hate you.
All right, okay, take it easy.
Hold on. I'm going to kill you.
Wait a minute.
She doesn't mean that. She's quoting Mercedes McCambridge in Johnny Guitar.
That's right.
She's quoting who?
She's quoting Mercedes McCambridge in Johnny Guitar when she looks at Joan Crawford and... Say it, Margaret.
I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
Are you guys enemies or are you just screwing around?
No, we're not screwing around, but we've been doing that one for so long.
All right, anyway, Bobby Dooley is with us here as we talk about the Bobby Dooley podcast. The debut of the Bobby Dooley Daily Podcast was today, and number two is tomorrow. Tell me about what the podcast was about.
Well, our podcast today, Phil, and Steve was with me, was about an organization that I formed at Western Estates Homeowners Association called the Circle of Taste.
What is it called?
It's called the Circle of Taste. And can you hear me? Because Steve says he can barely hear on the radio.
I got the radio turned up. You barely hear it.
Turn it up more.
Don't turn it. Well, is he in the room?
No, he's still in the other room, Steve. In the other room. In the, not that, the, even a, another room still. Like three rooms down. Go away, far away. Go away, four or five rooms away. Okay. He's listening to some big band music or something. He thinks it's your show. So the podcast, Phil, as it rolled out today, dealt with the Circle of Taste, which is an organization of gals that I have been heading up for quite some time. And we are women that we hope will set an example for a lot of gals here at Western Estates and elsewhere. But I was talking about those gals that did not make the cut and were, you know, for whatever reason, didn't qualify for the Circle of Taste.
All right. Now, when you were talking about this, my understanding was there was a picture posted?
Well, first of all, I want everyone to know that the Facebook fan page for Bobby Dooley is facebook.com/BobbyFans. That's B-O-B-B-I-E, not B-O-B-B-Y. I don't spell it like a boy. I spell it like a girl.
That's pretty good.
I know. There's so many women that they don't get it. But when you go there, you'll see a picture that I posted of Wanda Luba Lalanya's son, Kev Kyle. His name is Kev Kyle because Wanda decided she wanted some New Age Gen X name for the child, which I thought was really ridiculous, and I did memo her on it before the child was born. I asked her, well, what are you going to call it? And she said, I think I'll call it Kyle Kev. And I said, please tell me you're joking. She said, no, I'm not. I said, well, I'm going to take this to a quorum of the homeowners.
Oh, wait, I want to ask you a question. Where does the Homeowners Association of your community there, you being the president, where do you get off telling a woman what she's going to name her kid?
Well, it's a common question, Phil.
Right.
Henry wants to know where we get off.
And by the way, Bobby, I call you by your first name. If you don't mind, I don't like being called by my last name.
I'm sorry, I didn't know you could hear that. My husband asked what you were saying, and I said, you're asking where we get off. Well,
we're going to get off. Get off here.
Here's what my husband said. Here's what we're getting off.
Hold on for a minute. Just, you know, I'm not talking to your husband, okay?
I know that, Phil.
Okay, so I'm listening to Steve in the background.
Okay.
He said he's not talking to you. He can hear you in the background.
What did I say about that?
Bobby, you got to talk to me or your husband, but not both of us at once.
He said I got to talk to you or me or him.
Well, go ahead. You talk to him.
But Ms. Dooley, I'm going to hang up if you don't start talking to me.
I'm sorry. Steve, go back in the back area.
Wait.
Go to the back area. I always tell him that, and he's always getting the splint in his eye. You've got a real garbage can for a mind. To the back of the house. So, Phil, what I was saying was this. We did not approve the name because at Western Estates we do value our quality of life.
How is your quality of life affected by some kid's name?
Well, because if you've got a child running around here with this moderately mentally deficient, just an embarrassing name, and people say, well, who's that? Oh, that's Kyle Kev. It becomes embarrassing, and people think that it's a community of oddballs and strange people. And we can't afford that. We've been one of the top gated communities in Cocktails and Patio magazine for the last 6 or 7 years, Phil. So I said to them no. They went ahead and named their kid that. I told them that they would pay and pay dearly. And she did apply for a Circle of Taste and was turned down.
All right, so that proves that what you did was you blackballed her from your organization.
I beg your pardon?
In other words, you forced her, you did not allow her admittance to your organization as the result of some opinion or some action she took unrelated to it.
Well, sir, we have every right to keep the kind of women out of our organ. I don't want... First of all, let me tell you, it had nothing to do with Kyle Kev.
Oh, well, you said that you'd pay to her, didn't you?
Yes, because I knew what kind of a woman she was. It was very obvious to me that in naming her child the way she named this child, that she was way off the beaten path. There was something very, very, very strange about the woman. something that I thought was moderately, not extremely, but moderately retarded, and I know you don't like the word, but moderately disabled.
Moderately disabled because she named her kid Kyle Kev.
Yes, as a matter of fact. Now, when she applied for Circle of Taste, she was turned down, but not because of the naming of her son, although it could have weighed heavily. I talked to Marjorie Putman, Sarah Dubedoux, and...
Are these real people? Because...
Talk about Sarah Dubedoux. What's that about?
I beg your pardon?
What's Sarah Dubedoux?
What, is that a real name?
Yes, she happens to be an Armenian woman. They're a lovely Armenian couple. Oh, my God, how racist.
Why? Because I... All right.
What, you think Dubedoux is a worse name than Hendry? I don't.
Okay, all right, fine. Good enough, Ms. Dooley. So what happened?
What do you mean, what happened?
Why was she turned down membership in the Circle of Taste?
I have her... Steve, do you have her paperwork?
Yeah, go get it now.
Steve's going to get the paperwork on... her name is Wanda Luba Lalanya, and she's the one that named her son Kyle Kev. Her membership was turned down, but not on the basis of the name of a kid being Kyle Kev, even though I did get a picture of this brat with his tongue sticking out and the and it was absolutely disgusting. And
you said in your podcast, because I listened to it, Ms. Dooley, and we'll take a break, that you thought the kid pulling his cheeks out and sticking his tongue out was a sexual sign of some kind. So we're going to get into that as well.
You tell me that. That's insane.
Well, that's what she said. She said that, and her husband Steve said that they thought that that was some kind of a sexual innuendo of some kind. We'll be right back here with Bobby and Steve Dooley as we continue this discussion of the Circle of Taste of the first Bobby Dooley podcast today, which debuted on the Sideshow Network and on SoundCloud. Go grab it. Go get it. Go love it. Love it. Live in it, son.
Here is the Phil Henry Show. Live in it, son. Live in it.
And welcome back, world famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Bobby Dooley on the line with us here from the Western Estates Homeowners Association as we talk about her first podcast, which went out today. And available to you guys, a free podcast from Bobby. It's a daily podcast. You know, podcasting is a very, very interesting and prolific from the standpoint of the numbers. I should say prolific. I see there are numerous podcasters out there who are prolific. And Bobby, I've got to say, how did you think you would be received? How did you feel that you would be heard above the din of so many podcasters?
Well, Phil, that's a very good question, but I think that what you do is you just, you get it out there and you do the best you can letting people know that you're, you know, what I do and how I, my message and everything, and I do it good, you know.
Yeah, my boo, your message good.
Well, I'm talking about the Circle of Taste and...
Well, I guess my question is, there are so many podcasts. You take a look at iTunes, and they're top comedy charts, they're top public affairs charts, they're top news charts. So many different podcasts that people have to choose from. How do you expect to be found?
Well, we feel that with our Facebook page and our appearances on the Phil Henry Show and on other radio shows, that people will be listening to. And you know, Phil, we've got an awful lot to say to a lot of the gals. A lot of the gals need to hear what I have to say, and I'm not trying to say that I think I'm special or better than anyone, but when we have our Circle of Taste inner chamber, which is our membership council, the Circle of Taste membership council inner chamber makes the final decision.
Hold on, Bobby. Margaret, why are you back here?
I am not going to argue. I want to, from the standpoint of being a journalist, if Ms. Dooley would let me ask her some questions.
Yes, if they're not leading and you're not trying to start an argument.
No, I am not going to start an argument, but far be it from me. I want to know what got Wanda Luba Lalanya disqualified. And I also would like to know, because you never did share it with me, you were going to make me an honorary member of the Circle of Taste, and I never did hear back from you.
Well, maybe that gives us an answer as to why you have been very...
No, Bobby, this is not the reason.
Excuse me, I'm not finished yet.
Bobby...
Excuse me, I'm not finished yet.
All right, ladies, you promised me you wouldn't argue. All right?
I apologize.
Thank you, Margaret. The reason, I will give the reasons if you want me to.
I am a journalist, and I am very much a fan of truth. I am very much a fan of journalistic integrity. So, yes, I want the reasons. I want all of your listeners and all of my listeners and Phil's to hear what the reasons were that I was rejected. Now, keep in mind, my husband is a film producer, a television producer. I'm a college graduate. I am a reporter. I'm a professional woman and a mother. I don't know what else would qualify me for the Circle of Taste.
All right. I don't know. All of the things you said, I think, are really, really good and everything. I have your paperwork. Did you pull up Margaret Gray's paperwork?
Yeah, I'm going to get out of Margaret Gray.
Oh, I've got paperwork, do I?
Yes, you do, Margaret. Everyone else does, and you're no better than anyone else, and you're no worse.
Well, I am at least not worse. Thank you. I wonder what the paperwork on you would look like, Bobby.
All right, now you're getting argumentative again.
Yeah, see, I just knew she was going to do this.
Excuse me, I'm not a she. I'm Margaret. I apologize again, but I can't help but wonder what your paperwork would look like.
Say that again. Your paperwork would look like. It sounds like you have saliva in your throat.
Or something else.
Stop it.
Oh, God, I hate...
Margaret?
It's all right. I'm sorry. I'll swallow.
Good.
You know, I want to say this, and I don't... I hope you don't hang up on me, but God, how I hate you so.
Thank you. I'll take that under advisement. We have your paperwork here, Margaret. And if you can resist being rude and threatening...
Excuse me, but I am not rude or threatening.
Margaret, you have been, you just said I hate you and I want to kill you a bunch of times.
She told you that's something we say from Johnny Guitar.
Well, I don't like being called she either, but yeah.
All right, fine. But what I'm saying is, I will ask you, Margaret, as Bobby reads off the reasons for your disqualification, to take it like a woman, not to make all kinds of catty remarks. You said you're a journalist, and a journalist remains objective. She doesn't have a running commentary on things.
Phil, where did you learn to be a reporter?
I happen to know what being a reporter is from many, many years of being in business with them. So even if the information that Bobby's about to give you is insulting...
I doubt, seriously, how insulting can it be? If I disqualified, I was disqualified.
Just said if I disqualified. See, right there, that's your grammar. It's like something out of across 103rd Street.
Oh, give me. I missed. I said if I am disqualified, I'll take it like a woman.
All right. I have your paperwork here. Reasons for disqualification, Margaret Gray, Santa Monica, California. Your breath.
Margaret, watch it.
Oh, God.
Watch it now.
What is she saying?
Nothing, but...
God, I...
Watch it.
Yeah, your breath was... At least the day that we interviewed you, Margaret, your breath was absolutely hideous. Hello, are you there?
Yes.
Okay. So your breath, your B.O. was off the charts. What do you have there, Steve?
Hey, I got B.O. The B.O. was off a chart.
Easy, Margaret.
Are you there, Margaret? I can't hear you.
Yes, I'm here.
Take it easy.
I'm good.
So B.O. Also, feminine hygiene was as stank and rank as we have experienced in the 4 years that we've had the Circle of Taste. Steve, do you have the reading on that?
Yeah, feminine hygiene was stank. Full stank.
So we gave that a full stank reading.
Take it easy, Margaret. You said you'd...
I can't. Is Margaret there?
Yeah, she's here.
Let's see, what else? Lipstick on the teeth. Your clothes were right out of May Company. A wool suit in June. Wow. Wow. It hurts. It really hurts to look at that and to see it. And I think that contributed to the body odor too, Margaret, because with a wool suit, in the height of summer, you're going to stink it out. Good God, I can't even imagine. What else, Steve?
Got a mole on her neck.
You've got a mole on your neck that you really need to get rid of, otherwise I can't have you around here. And what else, Steve?
You've got a funny laugh.
You have a funny laugh. Steve, do Margaret's laugh.
Hey, you laugh like this. You go, and I was like...
It's donkey-like, Margaret.
Take it easy, Margaret.
So, is she there?
Yeah, she's here. She's listening very calmly.
Yeah, her laugh is almost like a braying mule. And then finally we have here, oh yeah, I wanted to ask you about this. When you sat down in one of our chairs there in the community, and then you got up, there was some staining, and I was wondering if you keep track of your period.
take it easy, Margaret.
You want some water, Margaret?
Take it easy. We're all done here, Bobby.
Is she all right?
Oh yeah, she's fine. We just thank you very much for doing that, and we'll be back to you, okay?
Well, I just want to let people...
Margaret, take it easy, okay?
I swear to God... I swear to Almighty God, I...
Margaret, you gotta take it easy, otherwise you're gonna come unglued.
I'll kill it. I swear a solemn oath I'll kill it.
Take it easy now. You wanted to hear it. You said you were an objective reporter... What, don't you think she's going to pile it on? Don't you think she's going to start, you know, embellishing to try to piss you off?
The truth is, Grace, that's all she's trying to do is piss you off.
Feminine hygiene was...
She's going to say every possible thing she can say that's going to insult you. You got to understand that.
Oh. No!
Better take her outside and walk her around.
Come on, Margaret, let me walk you around.
Oh!
Wow.
Man... She really laid on her that time, didn't she?
She did. She wanted to piss her off, and she did. I knew she'd do that. I knew she was asking for trouble when she said, yeah, sure, go ahead and tell me why I got, that I didn't get into the circle of taste.
Oh!
Come on, Margaret, come here.
Will you take her outside? Give her one of those cigars, whatever the hell she needs. Give her a cigar. Well, I better not say.
Give her one of that big, fat, cigar-sized joint is what she needs.
Yeah, well, we don't do that. Here.
Oh, I forgot we're on the air.
Yeah, we're on the air. We don't do that, folks. That never... We no do. All right. So thank you very much, Bobby. So we're looking forward to installment number two of your podcast that begins tomorrow. Or installment number two is tomorrow on the Sideshow Network. We got a little bit of Ringling Brothers. There's this letter to the editor of the Cleveland Plain Dealer from Ringling Brothers about their elephant care. I thought this was kind of interesting because we got this circus thing here on the Phil Hendry Show. We're not into circuses. We don't like them. We don't like animals being... We just don't like them, okay? And then we have the story of the over-the-counter STD thing. And then we're going to get back into, at the top of the hour... The story of the 83 almost missile attack on the United States with Larry Grover and probably General Galen Shaw. We had him on last night, but we'll have another guest on that. The 30th anniversary of that has just passed us, and we wanted to make sure we paid homage to that. All right, world famous Phil Hendry Show here and philhendryshow.com. Stick around, more to come here. And don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. You get a backstage pass, and you have access to over 5,000 hours of our archive material, 5,000 hours of full radio shows, 5,000 hours of revolutionary radio comedy, 5,000 hours of actual radio show content, and not a lot of drivel. Did you dig it? World famous Phil Hendry Show. World famous Phil Hendry Show, and coming up we have a renewed discussion here of something that I thought was interesting, the 30th anniversary of this, because I saw a thing in the news for tomorrow. I guess this is going to be a heaviosity situation. AP releases this thing. It's called What to Expect on, whatever day, like tomorrow is Wednesday, And among the things that AP released as something to expect or what to watch for on Wednesday was a story about some Air Force officers that apparently entrusted, who are entrusted with missile launch keys, had left a blast door intended to help stop intruders open. Now, it ain't no big thing. I guess this is something that happens. It probably shouldn't happen. There's no question. But, and right now, you know, the biggest threat to the nuclear arsenal, or shall we say the biggest nuclear threat that we face, is the nuclear threat that may or may not be possessed by terrorists or small organizations, small militant organizations, in possession of a nuclear weapon. Now, you know, some people say, well, what exact purpose will a small organization, what purpose will they serve by using a nuclear weapon? Well, it isn't so much using, it's threatening the use of it, which they feel might extort something from a government. But, you know, countries these days are less and less inclined to. Now, one of the things that we have not, this generation hasn't experienced, in fact, no generation has experienced, except for the Japanese of 1945, and that's the actual detonation of a nuclear device, the devastation that that can, you know, wreak, the death, and it's also got a psychological.
Well, the mushroom cloud, Phil, the mushroom cloud. It is the most frightening of all symbols, I think.
But when you say mushroom cloud, what do you mean?
You're talking about the shape of the cloud, man.
What?
The cloud, man. The shape of the mushroom of the cloud.
It's the shape of the atomic blast cloud.
What?
Are you listening to people? It's the shape of the atomic blast cloud. It's the mushroom-shaped cloud. Have you seen it? Here, show them a picture of it.
Like this, man.
Oh, yeah. I seen that. They ain't blowed that up yet?
Yeah, they blew one up. They blew two of them up in World War II, but they haven't blown any up since. Okay, no atomic bomb has been used since. And, you know, you almost think that it's a matter of time before... See, we don't think about that. We don't think about the real biggie is someone using an atomic weapon. Now, atomic weapons, as they go, I'll bet you money that we have a far more devastating image in our mind of what would happen than what actually will happen. Who knows whether if a terrorist group is able to detonate a nuclear weapon, who knows what kind, who knows how powerful, who knows exactly what sort of damage it'll do. These guys, these guys that planted the bomb at the Boston Marathon most likely thought they would have killed a lot more people than they did. Three is three too many. There's no question about it. But it wasn't a wholesale slaughter, that, like I'm sure these scumbags thought it would be. So anyway, that's the story with regard to tomorrow, this idea.
Now, what is the... They left a door open.
Yeah, they left a door open that a terrorist could get into.
They got the, you know, the missile silos.
The missile silos, that's where the...
That's where the missiles come out of.
Where the missiles are launched out of. So apparently these guys, some of them left a blast door open, and we'll see what happens. That's tomorrow. But we're going to bring on the line here. The next hour we'll have Larry Grover back on and a few others. We also have Rudy Canoza back on with us to talk about economics, and he might get involved in this discussion of the 30th anniversary of World War III almost starting.
Well, that is a horrible thought, and you'll see that it was almost started... You got it by Ronald Reagan.
No, it was not almost started by Ronald Reagan, okay?
Well, Phil, I didn't think you were a big fan of his.
I don't dislike the man. I think Ronald Reagan, as President Obama said, he changed the trajectory of America. And what he meant by that, and a lot of people misunderstood what Obama meant by that, he meant that America is now going down a different path. And it's a path that everybody's got to deal with. You can't go and change the path without an enormous charismatic effort. The guy that changed the path of America, the guy that changed the trajectory of America was a guy named Ronald Reagan. If you want to change that path to something else, you better find somebody as charismatic, as powerful, as steeped in vision, right or wrong, as Ronald Reagan.
Well, what about Barack Obama?
I don't know. I think the history will have to be told on President Obama. I think President Obama's... I think his meaning to history is different. I think President Obama is going to be seen as a guy that had to wade through a whole lot of crap, all kinds of racial, all kinds of unrealistic expectation, all kinds of racial prejudice, all kinds of... a lot of people wanted that guy to fail for a lot of different reasons, and he had to push through all of that, and I think that that's going to be...
kind of like a Jackie Robinson, man.
Well, I don't want to use the...
Yeah, I'm talking about Jackie Robinson just because he's black.
Well, I mean, look, Robert, I'm sorry, man, but that's the reality, you know? If people see Obama in terms of his color. I don't give a damn what they say. I don't care what the people that don't like Obama, they can tell me until the cows come home that race has got nothing to do with it. And I don't believe them. If there's one thing white people lie about all the time are their feelings about race. I go by what I see.
You know, you're not making a lot of friends with all the whites out there. Not that I don't mind what you're saying, but all those whiteys out there, all of those snowflakes...
What are you talking about, snowflakes?
I'm talking... Robert, I'm in league with you. I'm talking about the snowflakes.
You're talking about my people.
Oh, will you take it easy, okay? What's with you and snowflakes?
I'm talking about all those crackers and...
Margaret, let's just refrain from the name-calling, okay? If I'm not a favorite among white folks when I talk about this stuff, it doesn't surprise me. There's nothing that surprises me about my people.
You're talking to your people, white people.
Yeah, there's nothing that surprises me about them. There's no line of crap, there's no line of bull crap that they shovel out that I haven't heard. There isn't any attitude they lay out there that they think they got me fooled on. Please, if you think you can bull crap, don't bull crap a bull crapper, as the saying goes. Oh, you know, race has nothing to do with it. Would you go? You have a better chance of getting a black guy to believe that, and he isn't going to believe it in a million years, than you have of getting me to believe that. So who's left? Talk to your wife or your husband. Maybe they'll buy that.
Well, like I said, Phil, a lot of these crackers out here...
All right. So that's next hour here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Also, a reminder that... We have, as I mentioned, our Game of the Week on Sundays, and we have a new broadcast team with Bud Dickman and Steve Bozell. Have you been talking to Steve about this?
Yeah, I talked about how the broadcast got messed up and everything.
It did get messed up, but we're back on track for Sunday, and it ought to be a good time had by all. Sunday afternoon is our Game of the Week here on Phil TV, Phil TV at PhilHendryShow.com. Also, check out our list of affiliates at PhilHendryShow.com. You can see our list of affiliates and see where your city is, where your station is, and get a backstage pass while you're there. We'll be right back. It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You listen to the Phil Hendry Show, and it's world-famous in everything.
The Phil Hendry Show is brought to you by Ted's of Beverly Hills, as well as B&B Construction and the Western Estates Homeowners Association. I'm Bobby Dooley, inviting you to listen to my podcast every day on the place where the podcast is.
Good evening. Welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Here, our final hour. And we've got Kim Kardashian here. We're going to talk a little bit about her. And, Margaret, I know you have some things to say about Kim Kardashian, and I know that a lot of them are not flattering.
No, I'm not going to say anything unflattering. I'm going to say something that needs to be said. Kim Kardashian, as she flashes the rock. Now, this is the latest on Kim Kardashian. She has a new engagement ring that she got from Kanye West. She is showing it to everyone that she possibly can. She's throwing it up into the lenses of cameras everywhere. She's flashing it on her, you know, left hand, and I think it's the left hand. I would pay money. I honest to God, I'd pay money to see her put it on her right hand, like a real dumbass. But I don't know if that's gonna.
Get it on her left hand.
I know she has it on her left hand. Excuse me for a moment, Phil. I'm sorry, but I'm going to... I'm sorry, Phil.
God almighty. You know, you got no cause...
No, Phil, don't make a big issue out of it.
You got no cause to talk to anybody about anything when you're on my show just without any constraint belching like that.
Well, Phil, I'm so sorry to offend your delicate and genteel girl school sensibilities.
Girl school.
Sorry. In any event, Kim Kardashian with this stone on her hand, and by the way, Kim, who is the man? Chris Humphries, the man that she was engaged to. Chris Humphries' father weighed in on this.
He did?
Yes. And the quote is, she's stepping right into it all over again, meaning it's almost as if it's a role that she has written for herself, and she is playing the part to a T. But to be standing there flashing that rock, it's very unbecoming. It's as if she's not used to money. It's as if she, you know, when you look at Kim Kardashian, you want to think that she comes from a place where there's a lot of cardboard. There are a lot of cardboard walls.
I mean, you want to think that.
You will, Kardashian. You're thinking of a street that is mostly mud, and the drinking water's from a hose, and the walls are cardboard. I'm thinking of the man with the beard.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
You know what she means? Because I don't know what she means.
No, I think I do too, yeah.
You know the man with the beard?
What man with the beard?
There's a man with a beard who's on late-night television, and he's got a kid that hasn't eaten.
And that looks like Kim Kardashian, the guy with the beard?
No, for...
No, but it looks like that's where she ought to be from.
And she's not, and I think that... I think it's unfair to the rest of us that she doesn't come from the place where the guy with the beard is, that's all.
So, because she's dark-skinned...
I didn't say dark-skinned.
Yeah, you did. That's exactly what you're saying. Because she's dark-skinned...
Phil, I had asked, and no one wants to answer, how Kim Kardashian is able to pass for white. And...
Well, were you telling me that she's black?
Take a good long look.
Yeah, you take a look at her, Miss Henry.
Are you... You think she's African-American?
I don't say that.
No, nobody says she's African-American. She ain't white, though.
She looks... If you want to ask me what she looks like in terms of a more common ethnicity here in the United States, she looks Hispanic. Or maybe, I don't know, Greek or something, you know. But she's an Armenian. I mean, there's what the hell is with you? There's plenty of Armenians in America.
I know there are. But I think of them in terms of George Duke Magian, who was much more homogenized. By homogenized, you know where we get the term homogenized? There used to be something called homogenized milk. And homogenized milk was a nice, pure, crisp, clean, white...
Well, that's not what homogenized means. Homogenized means mixed together.
Well, I say it means white.
Well, isn't that nice? I say it means mixed together.
Well, that I say...
Never mind what you say.
I'm telling you, Phil, that what Kim Kardashian represents to a lot of us is a woman. She would be far more attractive were she from the place where the guy with the...
The guy with a beard.
Get off it with the guy with the beard, will you? That guy with the beard... What? Who is that guy, Robert?
Oh, it's an actor. The guy's an actor. He got known for doing that. I don't know what else he do, but he...
I think he's done some. I think he's done some films.
Like what?
Didn't he do Moby Dick? Well, what's so funny?
Moby Dick. I don't know which version of Moby Dick did he. That guy with the beard on the little with the starving kids. I don't know who that cat is. He's an actor, yes, I understand that, but I don't know what else he's done besides The Starving Kid. He's very good, you know.
He's very good. And when he does the, you know, do you know her, little Kimba Kukulu, whatever the name is, she has to eat mud pies and she drinks out of a faucet, and that's where I imagine the Kardashians are from. And then when I find out they're from Beverly Hills, you know, to quote Doc Holliday in Tombstone, now I really hate her.
Okay, Margaret.
Well,
this Tombstone quoting is going to have to end.
I didn't do it.
Never mind. It's got to end. From I'll send you to hell on a shutter to I hope you die to now I really hate her. I've had about enough of it, okay? And as far as Kim Kardashian flashing her rock all over the place, what do you expect? What does a woman do? Every woman you know does that, okay?
Yeah, A lot of women do. When my mom got remarried, she's all, hey, look, see, see, see. And I'm like, so? She goes, your dad never got that for me. I don't care. And she goes, see?
Yeah, and then did she say see?
Yeah, she did, see. She's all, see.
Okay, so what?
Well, she's doing it with me. She did do it with her friends, everything.
Well, women like, they like the big stone, man, you know.
Well, what did you get, when you got married, you bought your wife an engagement ring, did you not?
Yes.
And how many carats?
I'm not going to say.
Oh, cheap, huh?
No, not cheap. No, not at all.
Well, then why won't you say?
Because I'm not going to say. Because I'm not going to do exactly what you don't want people to do, parade it in front of people.
Well, it's not like you bought it for yourself, Phil.
I don't give a damn. You know, I don't mind Kim Kardashian doing it. Any woman that gets a big freaking stone on her finger is going to go show the world. They all do it. There's not a woman I know, a woman I've ever heard of, a woman that ever got an engagement ring that I know of, that doesn't go around showing everybody. That's what it is. That's the way it's always been. That's the way it's always going to be. What are you going to do about it?
Well, So in other words, Kim Kardashian with the big rear end, bumping her way through a crowd, using that big ass to push anybody out of the way that she doesn't like, and says, look at my ring. I just think it's absolutely low class.
You know, any chance you get, you're going to work her big rear end into it, aren't you?
If I don't, she will.
Yeah, all right.
Give me five.
Yeah.
Get out of here, give me five.
Well.
What do you mean she's bumping her ass and...
But Kim, you can almost imagine Kim Kardashian in a crowd of people, and she's swinging that big ass around. I don't know. I swear to God, it is a wonder that people aren't hurt and seriously injured every time that big rear end hits someone.
You'd probably throw somebody on a column or something.
Fractured skull.
I'm amazed more skulls aren't fractured.
Oh, come on. Would you grow up, please?
I am not kidding, Phil. That big ass going through a crowd, and now, hey, look at my ring. Look.
Well, I don't think you have made an impression here this evening other than a lot of people thinking you're jealous.
Of what? You gotta be putting... Of what?
Of her ring. Of her money. Of her youth.
Of her money? Phil, I'm married to Frank Gray, okay? Frank's got more money than Kim Kardashian would want to have. If Kim had Frank's money, she'd be frightened to death. She would... You talk about... That big ass be nothing but diarrhea.
All right, that's enough of that, okay?
God!
I'm not kidding.
That's enough of that. It's disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. All right, we're going to be back here on the Phil Hendry Show with some of the stories that we said we'd get to and we haven't because of a lot of other falderall, including this discussion of Kardashian. We have this over-the-counter STD test that you can buy and some other interesting things. This 12-year-old kid with the gun... Man, what this planet that we live on...
You're not going to talk about that, are you?
No, I'm not. I don't want to talk in depth about it, but I thought I'd mention it because... Well, never mind.
You talk about that, man. That's more gun talk. Like, we don't need no more gun talk, you know?
You're right. You're absolutely right. There's no point in talking gun talk. I ain't going to talk no more gun talk, and that's... Okay, so anyway, world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Visit us online. Get a backstage pass. Be a part of our BSP family. You know, we do a half-hour pre-show before the broadcast, and sometimes we have post-broadcast events on Phil TV in HD. So you get a lot more than just the radio show when you have a backstage pass and the video cast. There's a whole lot of dysfunction and four-letter words and, well, you know. The Phil Hendry Show will be right back. And welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we have with us Rudy Canoza, a rare treat. Rudy is a lot of times just not available to us here late at night. He wraps up business there in Je T'aime Lingerie early. We first encountered Rudy when he was going back and forth between Buenos Aires as a import-export guy. He finally settled in the Los Angeles area, has a business here, but goes back occasionally to Argentina and sometimes can give us a pretty good perspective on business, as well as the social norms of each country. And how is business these days, Rudy?
Business is very good, Phil. And but we're not in a business that is more reliant upon, you know, this the economy. You know, like some of the other businesses are.
Yeah, well, when you say it's not relying on the economy, it's not a traditional, it's not a business that's going to be, you sell lingerie, right?
Yes, we sell women's lingerie. To conclude your thought, it's not a business reliant upon necessarily the ebb and flow of the economy because it is more of a consistent type of purchase that a woman is going to make.
I wanted to ask you about, you had given me a call talking about, you were the guy that alerted me to this cheap over-the-counter STD test.
Yes, I didn't think necessarily to speak with you on the radio about this, but I'm picking up the article if I could, Bill. To me, the thing was interesting about this, if you're out at night, you're a young person out at night, and you meet someone that you want to become physically intimate with, there's a disposable multifunction STD test. It's a six-pack that you can literally pick up at the pharmacy, and you can test to see if you have any disease. If you are disease-free, then you can go and be, you know, sexual with each other. And I think that what I found, I am single, and I've been single for, you know, a long time since my divorce, which I was only married for 2 years.
Do you mind me asking how old you are?
Yes, I'm 45.
45, and so you're married 2 years in your 20s?
That is correct. I have been single since then.
And do you like single life?
Oh, I much prefer to be single because in my life, I have found that I love too much. I love not for the one, but I love for the many, and I mean that in the strictest sense of the word. I'm not trying to be funny or anything, you know.
So what do you mean? So you like to have sex with a lot of different women?
No. I don't mean that. I mean that, of course, the sex is going to follow if you have the love, and the love is the most important thing. The sex is going to follow. You must have the sex if you have the love. But for me, love is the most important, and I love too much. I love more than is good for me. I love to the point where it is debilitating to me and can harm me. But I do love, and love I must. For me, love is I must love, and there's no... I heard Margaret earlier, she said no alternative. For me, love is that airport in Beirut. There's no alternative. I must love.
Rudy Canoza is our guest here on the Phil Hendry Show, and we're talking about business, the business climate. His business is great. He has a lingerie shop. He also sent me this article on over-the-counter STDs. Why did you send that?
Well, first of all, I thought it was a revolutionary product that one can test for STD before you go on a date. If you go on a date, if you see a woman that you wish to go out on a date with, maybe you will to be intimate with her, maybe you will be not intimate with her, but you can get her to take this test, and you can get that cleared up before the date starts, you know. Just ask her to take this test. You can see the result of the test, whether or not she's been infected, and if she's disease-free. So I think it was something that is going to make a lot of men feel better.
Well, what, Rudy, what about the women?
What about the women?
What about, so the women give the men the test?
Well, this is a test that you buy at the pharmacy.
No, I understand that. And you said that you buy this at the pharmacy, and then you give the ladies, you're a man, and you buy this STD test. What about the women? How are they assured that the man is disease-free?
Oh, well, the women can be assured that the man is disease-free. If he's going to ask you to take the test, think of this. If a man is saying to you, I want to see if you're disease-free, you see, this is not a man who has the disease. This is not a man who has what we call la raza, you know, la rolo, the lolo, you know, the harmful, the rash. He does not have, you see.
Well, why not? I mean, what's to assure her that he doesn't?
Well, the man would not ask you to take a test, you see. He's not going to say, I have a disease, but I want to make sure you do not have a disease. That's ridiculous. What sense does this make, you know?
Rudy, that you're not making any sense. A man, you say the man asks the woman to take the STD test, but he doesn't, and you say... That, what do you call the la raza?
No, the la lolo. The la lolo is the sore or the open. It's if you have the la pala or the impala, which is they named it after the car, you know. I don't know why, but they did. That is if the man, you know, the man must not have the impala. And so...
What the Impala is what?
That's a car.
Is that a car?
No, it's not a car. Yes, it's a car. It's also a... It's an animal, but in this sense, it is the animal of... it's the animal of VD. And if a man's... if it's infected with the Impala, if it's infected with the... You know, if you wish, you could the cheetah...
What are you talking about? Okay, so...
Well, I don't want to get bogged down in the description. What I'm trying to say to you is that women, this is a great product. So the man, if you pick a girl up for a date...
No, Rudy, I understand what you're saying. A man picks a woman up for a date, then he drives over to the CVS or wherever and picks up the STD test.
That is correct, yes.
Do you realize, and Rudy, you claim to be a man who knows what women like. Do you understand how utterly insulting and low class that is?
I don't see.
I agree with Margaret. You pick a woman up for a date, and the first place you go is the pharmacy.
Yes.
And what are you saying to her?
Well, it doesn't have to be low class.
There is nothing you can say to a woman that's going to rescue that situation.
No, hold on for a minute now. There's not. You doesn't have to be. You drive to the pharmacy and you say to her, and again, Margaret, and again, Phil, I respect both of you and I love you, but you have to understand that I have been speaking to women in the language of love for so long. You pull into the pharmacy parking lot. You stop the engine. You look at her with a love in your eye that you feel for her because you want her to be healthy, and you say to her, la 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 la, la. And so...
And what does that do?
What that does is, you say to her, I'm going into the pharmacy now. And you go in, and...
Oh, come on, Rudy. I mean, I understand when you're in the throes of passion.
Oh, no, it's not come on, Rudy, nothing. No.
Well, what, so I just met this girl...
No, hopefully you didn't just meet. Why are you going out on a date with her?
What I'm saying is, I asked her out for a date, I pick her up, I take her to the CVS pharmacy, my intent is to go in and get an STD test kit... Before anything, before we hit the restaurant for drinks, for dinner, the theater, whatever, I'm going in, and the last thing I say to her as I get out of the car is la la la.
No, not la la. God.
Well, I understand there's a technique.
Yes, there's a technique. By God in heaven, there is a technique. And if you do not do the technique, if you do not know the technique, you're no one. You're no one to me. You're dead to me. You're dead to the woman. Unless you know the technique of the la 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 la. You're nothing. You're a dead thing. You're the carcass of roadkill, and I would just as soon run you down and see your gut spread from here to there, rather than to stop to scoop you up in a shovel and shovel you off the side of the road like a decent man would do. I would never do this, to see you go la la la, like you're some kind of a retard. I'm talking about...
Let's not use that word. All right, so there's a technique.
Yes, you look at her. The technique. Of course there's a technique. I would never look at a woman and go, like I'm some kind of a drooling imbecile that would scare her as she's walking down the street, and an imbecile, one of these imbeciles that live in the alleys of the world, that comes out and goes, yeah, scare this poor woman. I would never do that to a woman. I love women too much than to be the imbecile. You know.
All right. Look, I got to take a break here. Hold on. Rudy Canoza is with us. We're talking about these STD kits that you can purchase. And that you can test yourself, but only in Rudy's world. He's not testing himself. No. He doesn't need that. He's testing, he's picking this up for his date. So the chick that he's going out with for the night, that's who he is getting the test kit for. And we've got a little bit of a social norm. We've got a little bit of a protocol problem here, you know. We'll be right back with Rudy Canoza and more on the over-the-counter STD kit on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
This is the Phil Henry Show. Stick around for more.
All right, welcome back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show with Rudy Canoza here from Jetem Lingerie. He's talking to us tonight about this over-the-counter STD test. You know, Rudy, I didn't want to get you hung up on this stuff. I'm not trying to impugn your values or, you know, the obvious respect that you do have for women. It just seems it's an unusual dating take because you're not just talking about an STD kit. You're talking about your method in bringing this into a brand new relationship. because that's what we're talking about. We're talking to STD kits and people that are going out on a date for the first time. That's pretty personal stuff.
Billy, I don't deny you that it's personal stuff, as you say, but that's why I say that for me, for Rudy Canosa, and only I speak for myself, I can't speak for you, I can't speak for the men that listen to you. I would say for me, I would be as respectful as I can as I pull into, you say, I pull into the CVS parking lot, or you pull into a Rite Aid, whichever's open latest, because I tend not to begin my dates until late. This is how I am. This is how Rudy is. I go to parties where the lights are low. I go to parties that start at 10, because I do party with an awful lot of black people, and that's when they begin their parties.
Hold on for a minute. What are you saying?
What is that?
What is what?
What do you party with a lot of black folks?
Yeah, I do. I party with a lot of black people, and they tend to start their parties late, around 9, 10, and generally the lights are down. So it would have to be a pharmacy that is open late. And I don't know if that's CVS or Rite Aid. Which one's open late?
I don't know.
Okay. Why did you bring it up?
I didn't bring it up. You're talking about...
You asked me what my technique is. You see, because this is the over-the-counter STD test.
Rudy, what we're trying to find out is, how do you respectfully bring an STD test into a new relationship? You say you pull into a parking lot of a CVS or Rite Aid, whichever is open latest.
Yes, that is correct.
And then you look at her and you say, la ha la, whatever you say.
I didn't say I say la ha ha. You have to understand now. No, hold on.
I'm sorry, hold on for a minute. I'm sorry, Rudy.
You see, this is what I mean. You bring up to Rudy the way that I behave.
I'm sorry, I should have warned you.
You know, she does that a lot, Rudy.
No, but I know she does that a lot, because I listen to your show. And she acts like an ape on a vine as she comes on this program and goes burp. And sounds like you sound like an animal, you know? And how can you say to me that I have no right to go for the STD and to try to get as much as I can in the first half hour, you know?
What does that mean?
I'm saying if I find out that she is negative and... You see... Jesus.
Rito, the more you talk, the worse it gets.
Excuse me, ma'am, but you're the one that let rip a belch that... basically brought this entire program to a halt a few moments ago. So I think I can be forgiven my enthusiasm to know that there is an STD test.
All right, let's back up, because I'm not, you know, we're talking about STD test. We're not getting anywhere here, all right? So you pull in, let's forget about your, you know, how you behave. I don't know, Rudy.
I'm telling you, there's nothing wrong with my behavior. I pull in. And let's say she says, why are we here at the CVS? Why are we at the Rite Aid? And I look at her and I say, my dear, la, 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 la. And that's my way. It is a Latin way of saying, I value you and I'll be right back. And
so you say, my dear, and then what?
You say, my dear.
Well, that would frighten me.
Oh, Margaret, you know what? You've been married too long.
I beg your pardon?
You heard me. I said you've been married too long. Most of the single women that I go out with, excuse me for saying, I date a hell of a lot of women. And almost to a woman, when I say to them, excuse me, my dear, la 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 la, they understand, they know the language of the love. You have to understand the language of the love.
Well, that's not the language of the love. You're going in to get an STD kit. Now, all right, so you have...
No, it is the language of the love. I'm saying to her, my darling, you're going to appreciate what's about to... excuse me. You're going to appreciate what's about to happen.
You're going to appreciate what's about to happen, and that's going to be an STD test you're going to give her.
Yes, Phil, but you see, I'm not saying to her, I'm going to go give you an STD test. I'm not saying it like a slap, you know... I love you, Phil. You're a wonderful man, but the way that you communicate sometimes is almost like the slob. You know what I mean?
Well, Phil may be a slob, but he's not asking women, he's not testing them for STDs.
All right, if he wants to die in a hospice, that's his business.
No, I most certainly do not, and I don't even appreciate you bringing that up that way. I'm simply asking about the social decorum. However, that having been said, so you go inside, you get the STD kit, you come outside, and then what do you do?
I go in, I get the STD test kit, I come outside, I sit in the seat, I take her by the hand, I hold her hand, and I say, my darling, This is to ensure that you have no disease, because what I see and what I feel for you and I is so precious and feels so special in my heart and in my soul that I do not wish you to have a disease. If you have a disease and I have to report you, not to the health department, it would be something I would try to couch it, because you have to go to the health department and let them know that it could excuse me, and let them know it could be an epidemic.
Yeah.
Okay, so what else?
Well, all right, so let's see. This is Rudy's date.
Yeah, what a jackass, man, you know?
Here is Rudy's date.
Whoa. Hold on, sunshine. Who just said jackass? I'm tell you something. Rudy is a good man, and Rudy is a peace-loving man, but I don't like it when a man says you're a jackass. And let me tell you something, Dick. When you look at a woman and you say to her, my dear, this is to ensure that I do not have to make a stop at the health department. Alla halla.
You know what, man? I got money that says that doesn't work with one chick you go out with.
Oh, baby, you're on.
Yeah, I'll bet I am. So you say, so you're telling me...
What I'm telling you is the STD kit is the greatest thing to happen to single men, perhaps since the condom and maybe since the Las Vegas divorce, for all that I know and for all that I would wish for.
Rudy Knoz is with us. I'm sorry, I thought I'd do that, Phil, because you haven't done that.
I'll take care of the... What are you doing?
I thought it sounded like the program was getting out of hand. Can I ask a question?
Yeah, go ahead, but don't be butting in.
Uh-oh, it looks like, Phil, you're getting territorial there, Phil. You know,
I don't like anybody taking over my duties. Go ahead.
Well, never mind then. What a jack...
Guess he's crying, Phil.
Didn't mean to make you cry, Margaret. Sorry. All right, I'm sorry.
All she's trying to do is help you, Phil.
I understand.
You see, this is what I'm saying. You know, Rudy, I know. Go, Margaret, please ask me the question. There's no question you can ask me that I would not be willing to answer for you.
Well, I wanted to know, so you say to her, and what if the test comes back positive for a variety of herpes, gonorrhea, everything?
That is when you have to say to her that I have to stop at the health department. Most likely I'm going to have to leave you there because they want to test you. You try to soften the blow, you try to soften the words so that they come across with the love and the concern that I know that you wish them to mean. You do not want to say to her that I'm going to drop you off like an animal in a cage to get a rabies shot. You don't want to say to her I need to drop you off at the pound, you know, because a friend of mine was in a panic. He said to me, what if you have to go to the pound? I said, are you an ass? Why would you go to the pound? He said, if she has these diseases. I said, no, you go to the health department and you say, I must drop you off now, my darling. I wish you the very best. There'll be a man to meet you here. I'm sorry, I just noticed something on my pants.
Yeah, uh-huh.
What did you notice on your pants?
Wouldn't you like to know? And so you say to her, my dear, I'm going to be dropping you off at the health department. I love you. I hope all goes well. You give her a big thumbs up. You go, boo-loo-loo, and man, you get out of there.
All right, Rudy Canoz has been with us.
I'm sorry, but...
Yeah. Okay. Well, good for the STD test market, I guess, there. Will you be selling those at Jetem Lingerie?
No, Phil. I'm not going to be... What an ass. Not something because you disagree with me.
No, you're making a big joke out of it.
No, I'm because you disagree with me. You ask me, is Rudy going to sell STD test at Jetem? Like I'm going to be a pig and a slob. You know?
Well, the things you're talking about, Rudy, makes you sound like a pig.
I have not been pig-like at all.
You say you're going to drop her off at the health department if she comes back positive, and you speed off into the night.
Are you kidding? What am I supposed to do? Keep it in my car? I can't have that in my car. I don't know.
Thanks a lot, Rudy.
Well, you know, you're a...
Rudy Canoza, ladies and gentlemen.
That is an example of that man's hubris.
What's that?
Egotism.
Yes. And the fact that he thinks his la-la-la is going to save the day.
Well, I mean, he was okay up until the point of we pull into the pharmacy parking lot. That's when, see, I just don't believe, and I could be wrong, but I do not believe that because they have these STD over-the-counter test kits, folks, that when you go out with someone, before you go to the movie or dinner or whatever, you pull into the parking lot of the Rite Aid or the CVS or whatever and go inside and get the kit and come out and test him or her right there in the car. You know.
But you know, when would you do that? I mean, it's a good question.
Before you had sex? Before you had sex?
Why, are you nuts or something, man? That'd ruin the mood and everything.
Yeah, man, that wouldn't be too romantic.
I don't give a damn. Too romantic? Look, man, you know, you do it in the car in front of the parking lot of a pharmacy? I don't know. You're going to have to work that one out. But to me, it sounded like Rudy's sitting there, and he's saying to her, la, 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 and then he goes in to get himself an STD test kit. Okay, coming back with our final segment here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Thank you very much, Rudy. We'll take that under advisement. That was a whole lot of weird. After the show, check out our website. We'll have our show log. And we will also, tomorrow morning, have a new podcast from Bobby Dooley. We'll have, for our subscribers, our classic podcast, as always. And for our subscribers, the full show podcast at philhenryshow.com. And welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And what a night it's been. It was great to talk to Rudy Canosa, although he's still, you know, incoherent. I don't know.
That man, yeah, there is nothing romantic about that man at all. Not at all. And
yeah, and that's coming from you.
What does that mean? You better watch your mouth, because I'm really on the lookout for somebody I can mess up, you know?
All right, take it easy, okay? But what is this? What does that mean?
Well,
does that mean I'm easy or something? In other words, I don't like Rudy, and I should, because I just about like any man? Is that what you're trying to say? Is that what you're saying?
No.
Watch your mouth. I'm watching you.
God.
No, not God, Phil.
Yeah, everybody's on edge around here. Take it easy. God almighty. But Canosa, he's a whole new level of weird ass. All right, so that's that, and just a very quick reminder, as we said going into the break, and I will say coming out of the break, that we do have a series of show logs there on our website, so if you miss something, you want to know in general terms what a show is about, you can check out our show logs, and each and every single solitary ever-loving day, a podcast of the show, so you can on-demand check out what we are doing on our website there at philhenryshow.com, as well as our video cast. Now, I think I told you guys that I am recommencing my diet, because from the time that I lost the 80 pounds, I lost 80 pounds from roughly 80 pounds from 289 down to 210, so that's about 79 pounds.
That was 89 pounds.
No, it's not, man. It's 289 down to 210.
Isn't that 89?
No, not if you know how to do basic subtraction. No, it ain't 89.
What do you get all upset about?
Because you're freaking dumb, man. You're dumb. You're just dumb. And dumb, man, I don't like dumb. Not when a guy... If you didn't pay attention in class when they were doing subtraction and addition, I don't know what to say about you, man.
Oh.
Yes, 89 minus 10. What a...
Anyway, so it was about 80, 79, 80 pounds. And I got down in 7 months, I got down to 210. And then from last Halloween to today, I gained back 25 pounds. Now, that was done for a variety of reasons, but mostly it was me eating as I wanted to, but also exercising, and sort of testing that method. And, you know, I watched the weight kind of climb up there, but... I was giving myself a little bit of a break, but there no way was I going to get all the way back up to 280. So as of this week, I commenced the diet, and I'm really cutting the calories off, man. No more of this 2,000 calories a day.
Well, how many?
Today, and this is not going to be the norm, but today I only had like 850 calories. Calories, I should say.
Well, that is not healthy, Phil.
I didn't say that's going to be every day.
850 calories? You're going to be skin and bones.
No, I'm not going to do that every day. I'm going to do about 1,200 a day.
Why 1,200 a day? So what are you hoping to achieve other than to look like hell on earth?
What do you mean hell on earth?
Well, Phil, there's going to be a lot of loose skin and...
Wait. I already was down to 210, okay?
Well, you're talking about 200.
When I hit 210, then I'm pushing on through to 200. Yes. Yes. I'm pushing on through to 200. And why is that so weird?
Well, I'm at 200, man. That's really skinny.
Hold on for just a second here before you go off half-cocked, if I may say so. Excuse a mundo, baby. You know, when I was in my 20s, I was never more than 190 pounds. I was 185, 180 pounds. Tops. Tops.
Well, what did you look like then?
I was skinny. I was always skinny. I was a skinny kid. And, man, I said during the pre-show, I used to work in construction work way back, you know, in my late teens, just before I got into radio. I was doing construction, cement finishing, labor, all that stuff. And they used to laugh at me when I took my shirt off because it was so hot in Florida, you worked without your shirt on. They used to call me Ribs, you know. Hey, count the ribs on Henry. Look at this guy. You know, I mean, I was skin and bones. And then, you know, during the course of that summer and that year, I started to bulk out because you're lifting wheelbarrows full of concrete and stuff like that. But fact is, I was a skinny guy.
Now, what was this 145 you said you were at? That you must have been something out of a nightmare. You must have been a walking skeleton.
That was when I got back from Miami the first time. I came back to California in 78, and I had dropped to 145 pounds. Man, I was a skinny dude. I mean, you know, because your metabolism is still cranking pretty heavy. That was unhealthy. That was not healthy.
What's healthy for you?
What?
What's healthy for you?
I'd say about 190 pounds is fine, 195. But you know what? So people don't freak out, I'll go to 200 and they'll just park it there.
You parking at 200, I'd probably be pretty good at park it there. If you park it at 200, I guarantee you'll find some people that want to park it on you.
Would you?
Get up. Watch it.
Oh, that is vulgar.
What'd I do?
Well, you watch what you're saying. There's a lady present, okay?
Oh, give me a break. Just talking about normal relationships and everything.
Yeah, man, you can't sit a lady around.
What?
About parking it.
You know what you said. If you park it there, there'll be people about to park it on you. So anyway, 200 ought to be good, and then we're good to go, man. And I'm going to, you know, that's the way it's going to be from here on out.
Well, you said that when you went to 210, and now you beefed it out to 235.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I said that I would always keep it within a 5-pound range, and man, it crept up on me. That's for sure. I think what I'm going to have to do is I don't know what I'm going to have to do. Maybe I'm going to have to do this for the rest of my life. Put on 25 pounds, take it off. Put on 25 pounds, take it off.
Well, that can't possibly be healthy. You know, Frank's mother, God rest her soul, was a wonderful woman. I loved my mother-in-law. I loved my mother-in-law intensely. She was a woman of great laughter. She was a woman of great kindness. She was morbidly obese. And you know what I mean by morbidly obese, Bud?
She's like depressed. She's always not fun to be around?
No.
No, that's not morbid. Morbidly obese is to the point of... it affects your walking. I mean, you're just...
Your waist... You're so obese that it affects, yeah, how many seats you sit in. You're shuffling along. You're a real... You're a fat tub of guts. And... I loved Karen very much. Karen was Frank's mother, but she was a big shuffling tub of guts, and I say that with great love. God bless her. She died of a heart attack, and she was in her car, and she was in the parking lot of a Baker's Square. And you know how people are. It was, oh, ha, ha, ha. And I said, you ought to be ashamed of yourselves.
Wait a minute. She died of a heart attack.
She was wheeling into a parking, into the Baker Square parking lot, and later on they found there were 4 or 5 pies on hold for her. She had the heart attack, and the car just went right into a wall, collapsed the wall, and just missed a swing set on the other side.
Good God!
Yeah.
And so everybody was okay?
Everyone was okay except for her, yes. Everyone was okay except for her. And she was in a Baker's Square, Phil, looking to get pies, and you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. All right, so, and,
And she had a heart attack, and the pies were still piled up at the counter. Frank had to go in and claim them, and he, what else could he do? He ate them.
We'll see you guys tomorrow night.
Well, I don't know what I did wrong.